Well, a very good evening and thanks for tuning in to Tersoc here on Radio Kerry this evening. Coming live, as always, from our studio here in Tralee with myself, Donal Barry. And on tonight's show, we look back at the Garvey Super Value Senior Football Championship and try to make it as exciting as possible. And that's all in the first hour, of course, in the company of John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan, who are both joined by Andrew Moynan, who will look at some of the key moments and some of those games over the weekend. And then the second hour this evening, we'll be throwing an eye on the Kerry pitch and putt community in the company of some players and checking out how their season has been going on both locally and nationally. And believe it or not, we'll have probably the best sports journalist in Kilcoman in the mix as well, and Jason O'Connor, hopefully. Now, if you want to get in contact with us this evening, 066 712 3666, on the phone is Keen Doherty with no O, and you can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300 as well, and we'll get into the football as well. Loads of comments in already, absolutely amazing. I haven't had this many comments since Kerry were beaten by Armagh, so we're going to go through a lot of them, and a lot of them on the, I suppose, the standard of football, maybe not necessarily the games itself. Now, before we go into tonight's games, all eight of them, with Andrew, Liam Brosnan, there's a feeling around the county, particularly this morning, that it was kind of a bang average week, you know, with the quality of the games, and there was little enough to jump about and jump around. Very pedestrian, maybe, was another word that was used. Now, maybe it might be a little bit harsh, because I did think the St. Cairns St. Brendan's game was kind of an exciting game all the way down to the end, and then, to be fair, Templeknow and Shannon Rangers went all the way to extra time as well. But largely, it was kind of a 5 out of 10 week for...
Kind of a damn squid, or
it was, wasn't it? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's, I suppose, and the numbers going to games as well are showing that. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's the numbers are small.
It's a bad state of affairs when somebody can spot Liam Brosnan in a crowd.
Exactly, and it's a bad state of affairs when you can stand at one end of the field and count how many is across the other side of the field. Don't know, but yeah, I know. Is it just because there's nothing to play for yet? Mm-hmm. But to me, it just looks like a two horse race. Know, I'm just looking at the standard across the whole competition, and if you're probably involved in other teams, is that bit of is that go there? You know, that kind of a way. I know it might be a bit early to be saying things like that, but it just looks that there's the effort, you know, and it's like I said, it's a damn squeeze. There's no.
It just seems to be going through the motions.
Just going through the motions.
And
yeah.
We'll get on to the next round. We'll get on to the next round. John Kennedy, you were at a number of those games, of course, and I mean, we mentioned the crowd. I mean, there was barely a gallop raised, you know, the crowd. We're talking about that tonight, but how hard is it for players to kind of play in that cauldron? I mean, like, players in a championship, they want, you know, they want supporters. They want, every time they get a goal, they want a roar, a 50-50 ball, they want a bit of a clapper or a roar or whatever. They're not getting it, so it's hard to perform under that as well.
It is, Donal, in fairness, and players feed into that as well. Do you know, I mean, when you come out to do a warm up and there's 50 or 60 people in the ground, like Fitzgerald Stadium or Rossendale Park, it doesn't lend to, you know, it doesn't get the adrenaline flowing, and you know, you'd ask yourself why. We've been saying this for a bit. Why are the supporters not coming out? Are there too many competitions? Mm-hmm. Is it too expensive? Is the year too long? Is it too condensed?
But there must be answers now.
There has to be answers, you know, it's...
You are out every week now.
You are, yeah.
Every week. So the cost of it then as well.
But
I do think the venues. Mm-hmm. No, I think this weekend now we'll tell a lot to see what way crowd. You were at the Dingle game now, and was there a nice crowd in Long Range?
I'd say 300 people.
Which
compared to other venues was a lot of people.
But I suppose there was an atmosphere there though, because it was more condensed.
The game didn't lend itself to an atmosphere, to be fair. Dingle kind of, you know, they ploughed along. The first half was nice and tight. Some nice scores scored here and there, and people got a bit excited. And then Dingle hit a purple patch in the second half, 5 or 6 minutes. They nailed on 5 or 6 points, mostly frees. Game was over. It was kind of inevitable, to be fair.
Yeah. So.
But there's a real negativity about football and the way it is being played, mm-hmm, over the last number of months, and it is continuing on into the county championship.
Yeah.
We saw a few glimpses of big crowds at the club championship games, but, you know, there's, as you said earlier, with the exception of one or two games this weekend, you could predict who was going to win it. It was going through the motions, and, you know, it wouldn't entice you to leave North Kerry yesterday and go to Killarney for a double bill. The Listowel races were on, people were at the Plough Championship, mm-hmm, the week before. There's so much on now. You'll go if it's going to whet the appetite, and if there's something out there, say there's a bite in this, we'll go. But there isn't at the moment, and it's serious now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's funny, we'll be talking district championships probably in a couple of weeks' time, but you win or lose in that, I mean, this idea that you can kind of lose a game and then you get a second chance, or, you know, if you win a game, you get another chance and the whole lot. You need a bit of jeopardy, I'd imagine, Liam.
You do, and we haven't had that yet. Yeah. Now, I know we had a couple of games this weekend, all right, with it, but I think from next weekend on, the championship probably clicks into gear.
Okay.
No, but will it bring the punters out? No. Then another thing that I suppose Clubber has probably hurt it as well, because people, it's easier to sit at home and watch up on a couch than go in and spend 4.5 hours inside Fitzgerald Stadium or Austin Sack Park to watch a double header. So all that lends to the whole thing as well. But if, like John said, if the football was decent, now I was surprised now the last day with David Clifford and Paddy Clifford with the last couple of years have been bringing huge numbers to, like, so we were expecting a decent crowd to see East Kerry play Milltown. No, it wasn't an appetizing kind of a game, but there wasn't. No? Yeah. So it was, that really kind of opened our eyes. Look, there might be something wrong going on here, all right.
Finally, there was no mob chasing David.
Exactly. They weren't rushing him off the field. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, let's get on to the games. Andrew, good evening.
Good evening, Donal. Good evening, lad.
Your team is still involved, are they?
Yeah, they still are, yeah. my representation.
you're represented fairly well, to be fair. Come here, let's go through the top game you have this evening.
Yeah, so Mid-Kerry, Dr. Crokes, I suppose it's first on my list here, really. I suppose it would have been the standout draw of the weekend, but Crokes had zero plans to make it the standout game. They're into the quarterfinals and they were convincing winners over Mid-Kerry, winning by 8 points there. They were reduced to 14 men in the final quarter. It just didn't affect them, and Mid-Kerry, while a man up, they didn't score from the 46 minute onward, and Crokes pushed on. I suppose the quick fire start of Tony Rossin had them well on their way. He had a goal and 5 points in the opening 20 minutes, and it has to be said, it's been a super year for Tony, and he's continuing that form into the county championship now. They had their goal in the 18th minute. Keane McMahon overturned a kick out from Mid-Kerry. He found his other corner forward, Tony, who buried into the back of the net. And between the 18th and the 21st minute, they extended their lead from 2-7, which is an unbelievable purple patch.
They really put down the gear, didn't they?
Completely. And Mid-Kerry, to be fair to them, they hung on, and Kieran Kennedy got a goal just a minute later. He cut it back to 4, but after the goal, I think it might have been a killer blow. It possibly might have killed the fight back. Keith Evans got a black card, and that just kind of halted any momentum Mid-Kerry might have achieved. Crokes had a 6-point lead at the break. Crokes really just maintained their 6-point advantage in the third quarter. They had the raid. I would have thought Mid-Kerry might have capitalised on it, but Crokes, it just motivated them to kill the game off, and they outscored them by 2 points in the final quarter. And it's just Crokes, they continue to limit teams, you know, other teams that they face have so much firepower, but Crokes seem to be able to manage to limit them, which is probably a good sign of a team that they can just kill the game like that.
They're your favourites from the word go. I think the minute Pat O'Shea arrived back into the dressing room, Liam, you stuck it up the wall and you said, yeah, Crokes will win absolutely everything and anything. No pressure on Pat O'Shea whatsoever. They're continuing to impress, and maybe if there was a word like impressing even more, they're beginning to do it.
Yeah, I thought yesterday now was going to be a good test for them against
Mid-Kerry. It should have been,
but they seem to just push them aside so easily. Now, from the word go, like Andrew said,
Now Mike Breen was
a big loss.
We're talking about maybe the door centre back being opened a little bit
and
more,
and we're looking at the Milltown crowd gone out of Mid-Kerry as well, and thereafter, like,
and we probably built maybe them up big enough after the Dingle result and the whole lot.
Like, what Mid-Kerry were missing yesterday was a kind of a Killian Burke kind of a player, sound through players, taking on one on ones. They didn't really have that. I think Kieran Kennedy did it when he got the goal, but other than that, we didn't see a whole pile of it. But Crokes, look, even watching Crokes yesterday coming out, and I was over Timmy Mine, and we made a comment on it that Pat Shea was doing. He was the only manager that I've seen take the warm up. He's doing, but he's a coach. That's what Pat Shea is, and he played every ball on the sideline. You know, sometimes he can get a bit hot and a bit excited, but the instructions, every player knows what they have to do.
Yeah,
where
and
they have to go.
Come through that Pat O'Shea product as well. To be fair, I mean, some managers come in and they're different players. He wouldn't have had them at different stages. He wouldn't have known them as minors or kids and the whole lot.
Yeah.
Pat has that with him. He knows each and every one individually. And one of the players I thought played really well yesterday, and he's a great player, and he kind of maybe disappeared off, was David Shaw.
Excellent yesterday. He really stood up to the plate now yesterday, and like you said, had a poor enough campaign in the club championship.
He was in and out of form,
but yesterday from the word go, he was a target man. He was a danger. He was back to the David Shaw that we know, that we've seen with Kerry Miners and all the ways up. But the one thing I like about Pat Shea's style with the Crokes is that, and maybe we should look at it at Kerry, he all all the time he keeps his danger men close to goals.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Brosnan, David Shaw, even Burns goes in there,
Keane McMahon.
Yeah. There was never any three of them outside the 21-yard line.
Yeah.
No, they were always inside. The only time they came out is when they went down to 14 men. They were up 7 or 8 points. They were only minding the ball. That's when they came out. But when the game's in the melting pot, Crokes have a strategy where they'll go to outscore you and try to get goals. Yeah, they'll be my second favourites now at the moment.
Oh, you're sitting down a bit, have you?
Well, no, we've East Kerry now. Yeah, but that's what I said earlier. I think it's a two-horse race at the moment. Looking at the teams, the Crokes and the East Kerry are seen to be and a good bit ahead of others.
Okay, that said, Mid Kerry aren't out of it. There was a stage of yesterday's game where Mid Kerry got close, John. And Crokes kind of pushed it a little bit further ahead. And it was nearly a stage, and maybe it's certainly not a reflection of the players, but was there a thought that, you know, we're in the next round, we have another day out, you know, is there much to be gained by running down the back track here and kind of killing ourselves and getting within a point or two, and you know, there's another day. Is there that element with certain teams that you're coming down, you're on the winner's round, you know you have another chance, another day out, possibly you're not going to be playing a team as good as the Crokes. Is there a bit of that in people's heads, you think?
There might be, Donald, but I felt yesterday that to the day Mid Kerry could take the Crokes. You know, I thought they might with the momentum after the Dingle game.
But what benefit would have been Crokes would have been in the next round and probably come back through again?
I think more importantly, Crokes put down a real marker,
mm-hmm.
that they're certainly up there now. And, you know, as Liam said, I'd agree with him, themselves in East Kerry. But, you know, to look at Crokes, the style of play, the football they play, the scores they get, the unselfish play, kicking from the zone, all the good coaching is coming out with them. You rarely see a Crokes forward shooting from outside the zone out near the sideline.
And if they do, they're told to
it. They do, they're told in no uncertain terms. Yeah. And like the way they play, the kick passing, the shot passing, they know when to hold it, they know when to let it go, they know when to take it on. But Mid Kerry will be disappointed with the performance more than the result.
Okay.
Because I feel, you know, Crokes were in control. And when they had to...
Complete, from the start.
From the start, yeah. And they upped it.
Okay.
And I agree with you, David Shaw, Tony Brosnan, their form in particular, really up there now.
Yeah, huge. Right, that's the Liam Brosnan Crokes 10 minutes slot on the
Propaganda
says the East Kerry men. Let's talk about East Kerry propaganda.
Yeah, I suppose no surprises here. They're 2-for-2 in the county championship. They dispatched Milltown Castlemaine, I suppose, with a relative ease themselves and Crokes, as Liam keeps saying. They look like the teams to beat, and East Kerry never got out of second gear yesterday in Aston Sack Park. They dominated the opening. Paddy Clifford kicked the opening 4 points. His brother David, some people might know him, he kicked a few of his own in the first half, and East Kerry really just took over proceedings and set the template for the game. I think Milltown would be disappointed with the amount of wides they had in the first half. They could have made it a better contest, but East Kerry were up 7 at the break, and they equaled Milltown Castlemaine's full tally in the second half with just 6 points they scored, but they got the job done. One man I was impressed with for East Kerry yesterday was Rory Murphy. I think it was great to see him back starting, and it was a good performance by him, to be fair. And I was just looking at East Kerry's team, it's just such a formidable side with huge depth. 14 out of the 15 would have played with Kerry at some level, and seven have played at senior level for Kerry. So yeah, they're looking like a great team. The favourite tag is still with them, and yeah, a good performance again yesterday where they didn't have to do too much to end up winning.
Yeah, John Kennedy, East Kerry, I mean, we're talking about them week after week, year after year now at this stage. You know, they're at the level, they're setting the bar. They done well against Rathmore in the sense, you know, that they conceded 2-12, but they outscored them. Yesterday felt like a game that they done enough early and then kind of maybe switched off the engines and floated all the way to the end.
Yeah, I think Jerry Sullivan was quoted in one of the papers today that they learned more from this, and he was happier with this performance than he was in the Rathmore game.
Mm-hmm.
Rathmore was kind of a shootout,
mm-hmm.
whereas this was Milltown set up a defensive play. They had to break it down, and you know, as Andrew said there, look, Paddy Clifford outstanding. You know, led by example, David on a quiet day, kick 4 points. Rory Murphy, outstanding. But it's the squad, it's the players that they have to come in. You know, certainly they're while they weren't firing in all cylinders yesterday, comfortable victory into the quarter final, and it's knockout from now on.
Mm-hmm. great to see Sean O'Leary from Kilkenny coming back on the pitch.
Yeah, great to see him back playing again.
He's travelled a long journey from.
That's for sure.
He was on the cusp of Peter Kane's team that time, coming back, the injury, the whole lot, the accident, well recorded. Nice seeing back in it. Of course, Paul Shea coming on then as well. It's hard to judge where East Kerry are because, I mean, like, they've played two club sides, and with the respect to both club sides, I don't think Milltown Castlemaine or Athmore would have been your favourites to win the county championship. No. So there is going to be a bigger bite, a bigger test somewhere around the corner, Liam.
Oh, guaranteed. Like, you see after yesterday, you've Kilmare starting to poke their head above the pulpit. There's a lot of teams there now that would like a scalp of them, but I think that East Kerry, they have so much firepower all over the field defensively. Like, King Gamble was very good as well yesterday. Dara Lyon, these guys, Matt Rainey and Ronan Buckley, two solid midfielders. But to be fair to Milltown, you know, for a club team, I suppose, coming into it, it would have been a kind of a one who'd be scratching their head inside the dressing rooms. But David Roach, Gavin Horn, Brendan Casey, you know, Jonathan O'Sullivan up front. Yeah. Ploughed a lone furrow for a lot of it and gave Dan O'Brien a good run around as well. Don't know, so, but I do think, like Andrew said, they had a lot of wides, but a lot of their wides was the pressure East Kerry were putting on defensively, and they do that against teams. Don't know, so, like I said, it's going to take one hell of an effort for any team to dethrone East Kerry. Mm-hmm. Don't know, so, yeah.
And then at the end of the day, Liam, I suppose something people need to be aware of is that East Kerry are the county champions.
Mm-hmm.
And Milltown Castlemaine were last year's intermediate champions.
Oh, it's a big step up.
But yet they can meet on the field of play, and yet there's only 10 points between them.
Yeah, and like I said, Milltown were competitive. Yeah. They set up a bit of a structure, they tried, but East Kerry just kind of were in second gear all through, and you could see they were able to pull ahead when they wanted to, and they were able to do a lot of stuff that they probably wouldn't be able to do against stronger teams.
Yep.
To know down
Milltown,
along the line.
Of course, down a couple of players of high quality.
Yeah,
as
but
well,
Milltown will be looking at this weekend now, and they'll be looking forward to that game because that's the game that they really can have a rattle off of.
Absolutely, they'll be looking forward to it. John Kennedy, what were you doing 40 years ago?
I don't know, Donald.
Huh? Well, apparently it's a something. You're the best pundit around.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely. The impression of that, huh? That's harsh. That's propaganda.
I suppose it's the truth, is it? It's the truth, though, probably.
Well, 40 years ago, today, actually, you had more hair, definitely, and you were doing this.
Ball being dropped and what have you. Here come Kerry, John Egan. In now into the centre. This is John Kennedy. He takes his shot and he's... And that makes the score 3-0 in favour of Kerry. Two of the three scored by John Kennedy.
There you go. Two of the three first points of the All-Ireland Final 1984 scored by John Kennedy.
By John Kennedy, yeah.
When did you go for goal?
I was never renowned as a goal scorer.
You were a clean through on goal.
I mean, I'd do a terrorist talk on that game some night.
Come here. I mean, I know it's 40 years ago. My God, it sounds horrendous. Because we actually talked about myself and Andrew outside. It was 10 years ago, or this weekend, 10 years ago, we won the 2014 All-Ireland and Paul Gainey was playing. And then we said we go back and sure, there was John Kennedy goals in the whole lot. That All-Ireland, let's go back and we'll spend a minute or two on that, John. I mean, playing with fellas like John Egan, the Bomber, the whole lot, in their prime, I mean, you weren't out of place, obviously. You scored 5 points in that final. Whatever Mikko says, before or after to you.
It was a team of legends, Donald, in fairness. And you know, I came in as a under 21 and at the time, and to be sitting in a dressing room talking out with fellas that you adored a few months previously, you know.
When did you get the first call in? When did some fellas say, listen?
I got the first call. I remember it was a challenge game up in, I was called into the panel, first of all, after the league final in 84. Kerry played Galway in Limerick.
Mm-hmm.
And I was called into training. After
and was
that.
It Mikko himself in that ring, or was it one of the selectors?
Yeah.
How did that conversation go?
Well, he'd invite you in. There was very little, there was no baggage. Just you're in training on Tuesday night, and you know.
So we say you're at home in SD. The phone rang.
Mm.
What happened?
No mobiles. You get the phone, the landline, and there's training Tuesday night. Being Killarney.
And did you know it was Mikko?
You know it was Mikko. Actually, he contacted the club first. Alan Kinnelly was the chairman at the time. I was playing with Bell Longford. He contacted Alan Kinnelly first, and then he rang afterwards. And you just go in training, and that was it. But to me, you know.
So you came in after the league final.
Yeah.
in 84.
84, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you fast-tracked to the All-Ireland team.
Fast-tracked, yeah. My first game was up in Corrifane against Galway, opening of a pitch in the famous Corrifane club now. Kerry sent up two or three regulars, including Jack O'Shea, and I was one of them, and they played Dublin in Enniscal also, and played okay up there that day. And my first championship, our first competitive game was against Tipperary here in Tralee. Mm-hmm. And I remember at half time, I probably didn't touch the ball too many times against Tip in the first half, and Mico kind of said, that's the first 35 overs, it's time to start playing now. And I'd always remember Jacko got a ball about 30 yards out.
From the hip, like?
Yeah, there was no hiding there, but Jacko got a ball about 30 yards out. It was bread and butter stuff to kick it over the bar, and he turned around and called me and passed it to me, and I kicked it. And I kicked five more after, I kicked 6 points that day, and next game was the Munster final. Galway in the All-Ireland semi-final and Dublin in the final. Four games, four wins, and Munster in the All-Ireland middle. So, yeah. Do you know, it was a whirlwind start.
You're only boasting now, Jesus Christ.
The one thing about that team, and I've often said it, you win with legends, and all 15 of them were, but the likes of Shawnee Welsh, Bomber, Ogie, Jacko, the late John Egan, Paddy Shea, they made you feel part of it, and they helped you along. And if you kicked the ball wide, or if you made a mistake, they'd come up alongside you and next ball is coming. That was the kind they were, and it was a huge honour to play with them, do you know, because you know they were legends.
Was there pressure on Mico in 84? I mean, like, obviously 82, 83 had kind of slipped away above in Cork. 82, yeah. Obviously we all know about it. 84, we'll say there was a couple of new faces coming into that panel.
Yeah, there's no doubt Mico hadn't to prove anything to anybody. Mm-hmm. But there was a little pressure on, and he was a man that liked to win, but the centenary was one he earmarked. It was the centenary of the GAA, it was a milestone, it was one to win. And you know, Ambrose was captain, I suppose the way it happened, Dermot Dunhu was captain, and he broke his hand in training.
And what kind of a captain was Ambrose?
He was a brilliant captain, to be fair.
To be fair, he said that before, right?
He was a brilliant captain.
Did Ambrose tell you to say that?
he was a great man to train. Mm. And you know, might have found it a bit difficult to get fit at times, but he was wholehearted, and he had a brilliant partnership with Jacko. Mm. You know, he held around the middle, Jacko did the running, but he anchored, and he was a huge leader. And winning the centenary was brilliant, and O'Dwyer really relished that one. Mm-hmm. Against Dublin, and then the three in a row came. If they had won in 82, mm-hmm, the team might have disbanded and there might have been no three in a row, but that had made history, but it didn't happen. But I think that it showed that Mico was, to me, the greatest manager of all times, to be fair, because he did it, and he came back again with a new crop and did it again, won three in a row. An incredible man, incredible.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, when we were just saying about the footballers that he's played with, like, if they were around, no? We'd have crowds we'd be talking about. But I think that is a big problem now. We're taking the football out of the footballers now. We're overcoaching them. No, like John said there, if you kicked it wide, you were getting a kind of a nice pat in the back saying, come on, kick the next one. Yeah. No, if you kick it wide, you were afraid to kick it.
Mico, from speaking to loads of people, he was very straight, obviously. I mean, there was no sugarcoating. You mentioned there, yeah, come on now, you've had your 2 minutes.
Your warm-up.
It's proper championship, yeah, from here on. Was there a lot of pressure on Mico, do you think?
There was, I suppose there was.
84, I mean.
Yeah, there was. Like, he as we said, he won, and then he'd been beaten in 82 and 83. Mm-hmm. Last minute goals, you know, and Tadhg Murphy in Cork was a real killer, but coming in 84, there was a focus about him. I hadn't been there previously, but the lads would say it, you know, some of the training was just, he wanted us at another level, because he always felt it was Dublin, and from the very first day I was in there, it was Dublin was the focus in September. And maybe he was kind of looking 10 steps ahead, but that was Mico. He felt he was good enough to beat, but Dublin was the one, and they were the yardstick. And that 84 All-Ireland, he cherished it. And indeed the whole team did, because, you know, for the likes of Egan and Bomber and all these, for the Spillane and, you know, Jacko, coming back and winning that one was sweet. And they really enjoyed that one.
You heard that? And he refreshed it a bit. Obviously, managers refresh when they bring you. It was your first year. Who else was brought
in? Yeah, he made a big switch. He put Tom Spillane centre-back. Mm-hmm. And you know, he wouldn't be, a lot of people wouldn't see him as a marker, maybe he'd be a midfielder, whatever, put him in centre back. You know, Shawnee Welsh went back full back, and then the likes of Timmy Dowd and William Maher, myself, came into the, you know, freshened up. Ambrose was in the middle with Jacko, and there was huge competition for the places, and he continued to look at fellas, you know, out in the county league. You might see the late Joe Cahan or someone at a game, you know, maybe the late Tim Kennelly or whoever would be sent out. You would know if you were playing that day, they were here on a mission, maybe to see you, but was there someone else they were looking at?
Yeah.
And they were brought into training, and that made it competitive.
And he still didn't stick the ball in the net. He was clean through and goal after Egan gave him
a few pints of kick will do that.
We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now on to the third game in the winners' round, and this one went all the way to extra time.
Yeah, Temple Law finally got the better of Shannon Rangers after extra time. Both teams will have another crack at the whip. Temple Law get their week off and Rangers will have Rathmore in the following week. But it was a late Kevin Goolin goal for Shannon Rangers that sent it to extra time, but it was really Temple Law's game after that. They really pulled away. Shannon Rangers were the better side in the early doors, but it took 10 minutes for Temple Law to get their opening score from Killian Spillane, and the second quarter in was really all about Temple Law. They woke up and outscored Rangers 4-1. They pushed to a 6-4 lead at the break, which was deserved. I thought they had great defending in the first half, and I was enjoying the battle between inter-county players Jason Foley and Killian Spillane. It was very interesting. Rangers came out after half time with a pep in their step. It was a 4-point swing. Derek Keane, Jason Foley, Evan Boyle and Jack Kennelly scoring there. It was a brilliant start and it was what they needed. And like the first half, the second half kind of took a similar pattern. Rangers starting well, but then Temple Law kind of got the better of them in the latter quarter. But the 43rd minute goal from Tadhg Morley, I know Jack O'Connor has him at a number 6 role, but maybe it should be a full forward after this finish. It was a fantastic goal by himself, and Killian Spillane found him running through the centre, and it was just a rocket off his right boot into the left corner. But Shannon Rangers didn't say die. They brought it back to a 3-point game after Temple Law. I thought they'd pulled away. Kevin Goulding saving the day for them after Jason Foley sending a high ball in. Goulding got the benefit of the rebound and made it a level game, and a big credit to Danny Wren tackle which led to that goal there. But extra time, it was really all about Temple Law again. They outscored them 6-2. Temple Law, they'll be sick of the close battles with North Kerry sides. It's 2 weeks in a row now that they've had that. Killian Spillane and Brian Crowley, I thought they were superb on the day. And now Shannon Rangers versus Rathmore. I think that's a tough enough game to call because I think there's quality on both sides there.
John Kennedy, Shannon Rangers, I mean, Temple Law, well, first of all, big congratulations to Temple Law, because we said this last year, we tricked you, because we said it was the fourth consecutive year in a row since they became a senior club that they were in the quarterfinals. Guess what, they've made that five.
Okay.
So five in a row for Temple Law. Of course they'll want to go one step further, because I mean, there's no point getting the quarterfinals if you can't go a step further, but it's still a huge level for a very small club in a crowded enough area to secure that with minimum enough fuss and extra time, maybe.
Yeah, great performance by Temple Law. You know, like we said there, maybe that not a lot of new players coming through, we said last week, but the players that have real quality, you know, and up the centre, Kieran O'Neill, very impressive at fullback, did a great man marking job, and Jack Kennelly, Tadhg Morley, really solid, got a super goal, as Andrew said there. You know, the midfield, Sean Sheehan and Gavin Crowley, were very workmanlike, and you know, Killian Spillane started really well. I thought the Rangers management team moved swiftly. They brought Jason Foley back, then nullified each other, and that was kind of a typical of the day. We'll say Rob Stack and Adrian Spillane had a real battle around the middle, nullified each other as well. You know, Rob did come into it in fairness and got the upper hand towards the end, but Sean Sheehan was really solid throughout.
He's a Berlin club player, isn't
he? Outstanding. Actually, I thought he was man of the match. You know, he was absolutely outstanding. But, you know, well done to Temple Law. It looks as if they had the game. They were out of sight. Mm-hmm. They were five up. Shannon Rangers never said I made switches. Thought they made very good switches, in fairness. One or two due to injury. I think Derek Kane picked up a knock, and Ty Carroll went off with a muscle injury, I'd say. But the switches they made worked. And like Andrew said there, I think the tackle by Danny Wren, there wasn't a lot to raise the spirits of the crowd, which was a real old style tackle. I think the goal came from that. And you know, they drew level. A debatable sideline caused a lot of consternation, particularly in the Shannon Rangers side. Allegedly it wasn't out over the line. You know, games are defined in that, but that's not taken away from Temple Law. They went and they were worthy 4-point winners in the end. They're in the quarter final, but Shannon Rangers can take a lot of heart from it.
Yeah,
they've put a lot of pride back into that jersey again.
And a couple of years ago, dare I say, if Shannon Rangers were 5 points down in a championship game with a bit to go, they'd probably pack the bags and maybe go home.
You're spot on.
Not now. I mean, and to get back extra time to get that goal. I mean, even those celebrations for that goal to get back level and to get back in it. Might they be a tad disappointed the way it went in extra time then, where they didn't kind of run completely out of gas, maybe, was
I'd
it?
I'd say they might, in fairness. They had given everything, and you look at the fitness and the stamina at Implanoe, incredible.
Mm. Yeah.
They stayed going.
And backbone by a lot of Kerry players and fellas and would have that in their legs.
No,
maybe.
They did really well, you know, and Kieran McCarthy wing back, John Rice inside, they were solid. Brian Crowley, great game. Yeah. 4 points, picked up an injury in the extra time as well. But I think Shannon Rangers will look forward to next weekend because, you know, they've had two very good performances.
Yeah.
They've made huge progress, and I think that's very important for North Kerry football and to the management team and Patrick Gill, great job. But to Implanoe, I think, no disrespect, I think they're punching above their weight, in fairness. You know, they're holding their own.
Yeah.
They're never destroyed. They're really competitive. They have the nucleus of a great team, and they're county men, particularly Marley. Killian Spillane, even though he was subdued by Jason, he kicked 4 points. Brian Crowley, you know, Aidan Crowley, Colin Crowley.
Gavin was very good as well the week before on midfield. Very experienced.
Mm. I think he picked up an ankle, a knock on the ankle just after at the throw-in for the second half. It might have impacted him, but he was still hugely influential. But a really decent game.
Yeah.
Exciting and competitive right to the end. But, you know, Timpleno deserves their win.
Another game completely all the way to the end, St. Kieran's and St. Brendan's.
Yeah, I suppose the two dark horses maybe of the competition battled it out on Saturday evening, and it was a great game in Ossensach Park. Really could have went either way. Brendan's had an early lead, but the huge score came in the 18th minute. Adam Barry sent a Hail Mary ball into the square, and Kyle Brosnan got a brilliant punch onto the landing, made it a level game, and Kieran's pushed 3 ahead after that before it was a debatable pen awarded to Brendan on the stroke of half time. Jack Savage finished it there, and Tomás Kennedy made a 1 point lead for Brendan's at the break. And following the break, then Brendan's just continued on. Barry John Keane got on the end of a Tomás Kennedy pass and extended Brendan's lead to 4 points. But Kieran's, they kept on ticking. Adam Barry kicked 3 points following that goal, but Jack Savage, he kind of kept them at bay until the 59th minute. Tighe Brick benefited from another high ball in and scored a goal for Kieran. When you're thinking is extra time on its way there, but in the 65th minute Brendan's got their winner. Tomás Kennedy was pulled at the 13 yard, and it was a handy free for Jack Savage to send over the bar and send Brendan's to the quarters. And Jack Savage, fantastic once again, 1-6 reliable from the frees. But I thought Tomás Kennedy stood out in the day, and he stood out for Rahilly's and now Brendan's All Championship.
Huge game, Liam. Very competitive all the way to the end. Looked like a draw, then a free, then a point, then a miss. And possibly outside of East Kerry, these would be the two districts that looked like, maybe Mid Kerry to an extent as well, but outside of those two,
be competitive,
would look like if there was another team to push through. Mm-hmm. It could be St. Kieran's or St. Brendan's.
Yeah, look, Kieran's, to be fair to him, in the last number of years have put it up to East Kerry, have put it up to Crokes. Mm-hmm. They've always, you know, really give great performances, and you know, more again Saturday night, you know, half time 1-7, 1-8. There was nothing between them,
and there was good football played in this game as well. I mean, they scored 2-14, 2-13. That's 27 points between them. I mean, and a lot of kick passing, a lot of movements. Not really a lot of defensive.
It was kind of gun ho football, really. Yeah. You know, both teams kind of went at it, which is great to watch. You know, I suppose the big talking point will be the penalty before half time.
Yeah,
you know, everyone's kind of saying was it or wasn't it? But look, it was given. But Kieran's kept going. They kept back. I suppose the one thing with Brendan's, I suppose the all reliables, the Jack Savages and, you know, the Barry John Keynes, Thomas Kennedy, the young guy coming through, making inroads as well. Missing David and missing Tommy will come back into the fray now from Joe O'Connor back. Yeah, the one thing, you know, you could see with defensively, they're strong. I think from midfield back they have 7 stacks players. Mm-hmm. Six, and they have 1 up front. Daniel Kirby was 1 up front, so there's 7 stacks players. So they're solid, but they're not lighting anything up yet.
Yeah, but they don't need to.
And this was always going to be a tough game against Kieran's. No, mm-hmm. Kieran's, like I said, Kieran's are battlers.
Yeah.
No, Carl Brassen up front, Adam Barry again, Paul Welsh, these guys. No, they never say die. No, Tyre Brick got onto the ball in the 60th minute.
That's the goal,
the back
as well.
Of net.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, it's not dead and buried for any of the two of these teams yet. No, they'll have a say yet.
So yours. childhood team is still in it, is it?
St. Kieran's are the green and white are still there.
Okay. Well, the next question is going directly to you. Lads, what about St. Brendan's divisional team, or do you rate the three town players at all? North Kerry listener. Well, North Kerry listener, there's only one team he rates, and that's East Kerry, and then it's Crokes.
Well, I suppose.
But you surely rate Brendan's chance, do you?
Oh, you rate. Look at the players they have. You know, if they can click, they will give anyone a game on the day, but can they click with all the players that they have on paper and stuff like that? But can they gel together and give that performance? And to win the county championship, they'll have to give more than one performance.
Yeah.
No, but can they do it consistently over the next couple of weeks? That'd be the big
thing. Where they need to be. They're in the quarterfinals. Donald, the St. Kieran, St. Brendan's game was the game of the week. Two decent districts doing a lot of good work. Well said there. What did the panel think? Why did the panel think there's such a gap between some teams? Maybe it's less teams that we need in the championship rather than more teams. The county championship, lads, is dead on its feet. Why drag it out? Just let it become an FA Cup competition. There will be great excitement if Dr. Crokes and East Kerry to play each other in the first round and have a straight knockout. Then you'd get crowds. Yeah, absolutely. Then you get and you get your weeks back fairly quickly. Shannon Rangers and Temple No game was pretty good. Shannon didn't have the legs in extra time, but they are still in the hunt. In previous years, they would be out already, John Kennedy. There you go. One step further. Disappointed Field Rangers are out so quickly. They were in the semi-final not too long ago. Lads, why are you bothering with the districts when some of them don't even bother to field all the players that are available to them? And we kind of touched on that over the last number of weeks as well. Maybe districts not having their full complement of players for whatever reason that's going to come. Tone, what do you make of the referee at the South Kerry game? You were at it yesterday. Yeah, we're staying over that one anyway.
That's another comment.
No, we're going away from there.
That was a nice save, Tim Donald.
Absolutely. I'm sitting on this side, listener, they're sitting on that side. Mid Kerry not scoring with a man up in the final quarter shows what a dead rubber game this was. If it was knockout, they would have gone after the game. We mentioned that actually. They went down a man and Crokes outscored them 2-0 with 14 men, but the game was over.
But they couldn't get the ball off Crokes.
There we go.
Yeah.
Couldn't get the ball. Oh God, okay, the next one, we started, so we'll finish it. Have East Kerry got any supporters at all? Can't believe how few people actually went to the game, and yet most of them will cry if they don't get all Ireland tickets. Well, I suppose that's nearly every supporter. But yeah, it was a slack enough crowd, to be fair, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was poor crowd.
Yeah, lads, don't be too harsh on the players. It's impossible to get up for a game with such little atmosphere. I was at an under 13 blitz over the weekend, and there was far more passion and support from the parents than there was in us.
Donald,
where is the passion for the game in the football championship? The hurling championship had something amazing altogether, and there was nothing going on there. Well, with that, we'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee. We're being local.
Now let's fly away with four teams out of the championship, of course. Nagail, Field Rangers, West Kerry and South Kerry all gone from the championship this week. Let's start with Nagail exit.
Yeah, 4 goals to ball remaining in the county championship, defeating Nagail in Milltown. It probably ends a very disappointing year for Nagail. The no wins in the county league or club championship, and now no wins in the county championship either. Just a disappointing year overall for them. But it was the spot penalty early on that might have given them a bit of momentum. It was a good save by Rogers, the Nagail keeper. But I think they put some good intensity on Nagail throughout the entire game. They pressed the kickouts to great effect. They got a goal in the 14th minute from David Spinelli. And it was a cracker, to be fair, off the crossbar and past the goal. And anything he can do, Mike Foley can do better. Another bullet of a goal in the 26th minute. No Dermot O'Connor for Nagail probably affected them an awful lot in that game for the majority. And they had a 7-point deficit at the break, which was too much of a mountain to climb for them in the second half. They had a cut back to 4, but Spall just kept them at bay. They got another goal in the 43rd minute. Keane Tobin fisted it into an open net, which is a huge score in the context. And Dan O'Donoghue got a black card, but Spawn never kind of looked in trouble, and they got another goal in the 56th minute from Keane Tobin, and that was the killer of the game.
Mm-hmm. And Dermot did of course make a visit towards the end as well on the pitch. Spawn, vital win, John, for Spa, really, isn't it?
Yeah, a big win for Spa. They'd have been disappointed the previous week against Milltown, but they're tough campaigners. You know, as Andrew said there, you know, Tobin, Spillane, Mike Foley, Evan Cronin, their main men, they did well for them. And the goals were the difference. 4 goals is a huge score in a championship game.
And Spa can score goals. I mean, in some of the games they played last year, they can get goals. They are a goal machine in a sense. Lost a number of players too. I mean, Kearney's gone. on from the middle of the field as well, so it does hurt him a small bit. Field Rangers are also out.
Yeah, Field Rangers also knocked out of the championship of the weekend by Kinmare. Convincing win, to be honest, by Kinmare. They were just a bit too strong for Field Rangers. Sean O'Shea had a goal in the 50 minute for them. That was the first of their third, and the goal had Kinmare on their way. It set the template, and they had a 113 to 5 point lead at the interval. Sean O'Shea got 1-6 in the first half. He got 110 in total. Marvellous performance by him, to be fair. Mentioned to Jack Enright, Field Rangers keeper. He saved penalties 2 weeks in a row, and he had two big saves in the first half, so they could probably thank Jack Enright that he kind of saved their blushes, really, Field Rangers. He had a lot of saves between the 2 weeks, but two goals in quick succession by Kinmare completely killed the game. Tagney from the bench, Jack Tagney, he was the making of both goals, really, for Kinmare. The first from David Hallisey and the second from Stephen O'Brien, which killed the game. And yeah, Kinmare through to the next round. Man of the match probably Shawnee O'Shea, 110 and 18 from play. They'll be happy, and a very tasty opposition in mid-Kerry next week.
Mm-hmm. Great to see Jack Tagney as well, a real young player coming away through, starting his life out in Kilcommon of all places, though in Kinmare now as well. Well done to him. And Jack Enright making his shout for goalkeeper of the Terrace Talk team there. Type that in there, John Kennedy, will you? We'll be looking for goalkeepers who save two penalties in a row. Is it a disappointment for Field Rangers, do you reckon?
Yeah, a huge disappointment, Donald. The performance and the defeat, you know, it was disappointing for them. Few changes to the starting 15, few injuries, and you know, a few bright spots. I thought Conor Kinnelly was outstanding, a wing back for him. You know, I thought that Eddie Healy and Killian Trant were doing quite well. Healy picked up what looked like a nasty injury. Mm-hmm. We wish him well. We hope it isn't too serious. Just right at the end, you know, killer. But I felt the Achilles heel was up front, finding it very difficult to get scores. Cormac Dillon, well shackled. Mm-hmm. Just got 1 point from play, kicked three frees, but it's all about Kinmare.
Yeah.
They were outstanding.
3-20 is a huge score.
Huge score. I thought David Hallisey had a huge game for him.
Yeah.
Ball winning ability. But their defence, they're an example to teams how to defend in numbers. If somebody went forward, there was always someone dropping back, and you know, comfortable victory.
Yeah.
And you know, I suppose the likes of Tom O'Nan looking, and Jack, as you said, coming on, did really well. It shows we questioned their strength and depth a few weeks ago, Liam.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to have a few players that are coming, and Stephen O'Brien, one of his best games for Kinmare so far. Great, great game. Sean O'Shea outstanding.
Yeah. Sean O'Shea outstanding, Paddy Clifford outstanding. The outstanding Kerry players remain outstanding in the club championship.
Yeah, and you put Tony Braston into that.
Yeah.
And, Tony Braston, we said, if we play football, these guys are footballers. Like, Paddy played full forward yesterday.
Yeah, he scored 6 points, 1-10 for Shawnee,
yeah.
And was it 1-6 or 1-7 for Tony Braston?
Exactly. You know, so, and because they were playing football.
Yeah.
No, there was none of this over and back the field and back in defence and stuff like that. Sean, he's really motoring, because I saw him against Crokes, and you could see the, every time he got the ball, he was a danger. He was going to score. Even towards the end of that game, he nearly hit the net a couple of times.
Yeah.
No, so 3-20, big score for Kilmare. They're going to, teams will fear, yeah, meeting Kilmare, because they're, as we said, they're so close, but they never kind of get over the line, the club championship in the last couple of years. But they're a team that could take a big name out in the weeks to come.
And they'll have Mid-Kerry now next. West Kerry are out, three-time winners. Field Rangers, of course, won the county championship three times as well. West Kerry, three-time winners, they're gone.
Yeah, West Kerry knocked up by Rathmore. It was a good win for Rathmore. They kind of seemed in control for the game. They would have carried the favourites tag heading in, and they battled up with a good win in Nostanstad Park. From the off, they placed their emphasis on their attack. They threatened the West Kerry goal early on. They had a couple of goal chances, and John Moynihan, he made up for an earlier effort in the 10th minute. He cut through the West Kerry defence and finished off his right, and he just continuing to add to his goals tally. He seems to be scoring goals for fun all year. West Kerry as well, another keeper, Alan Falvey, they can thank him as well. He had a couple of good saves in the first half to hold off Rathmore, but Shane Ryan, I thought, was superb. He was mopping up scores for Rathmore with marks from play.
Not playing in goal.
Shane Ryan scored a 45 as well. They had a 1-9 to 4 point lead at the break. A couple of scores for West Kerry in the second half, it kind of reduces the gap somewhat, but Rathmore seemed comfortable. Cathal Ryan as well in midfield, he was superb. But West Kerry, they got a consolation goal really late on, Conor Cordew from the bench. A lovely finish, to be fair. But yeah, that's West Kerry knocked out by Rathmore. And Rathmore probably will fancy themselves versus Shannon Rangers, but that is a nice game to look forward to.
Liam, we mentioned Rathmore last week because we were kind of impressed with the fact that they went out and had a go at East Kerry. They went out and
kicked 2-12.
Kicked 2-12. They opened up a number of times. They left a bit behind them as well, maybe, as well. The fact that they backed that up with a win, it augurs well for them.
It does. And it's just like Kilmare. They're two big wins for two club teams there now to get them back on track again for this weekend coming. And but like that Shannon Rangers Rathmore now this weekend, I think that's going to be that'll be a good game now, because
we'll get on to in a second. So Kerry are gone, 10 time winners.
Yeah, Dingle back on track, 6 point unfortunately for Soccer, their county championship is over. Dingle did what they had to do. They got their scores, 6 out of 13 were from frees, and I think they'll attribute
there was a lot of frees
but Dingle will attribute, I'd say, their third quarter surge and increased level of intensities and the tenacity in their tackle in the second
and
half.
And Paul Ganey playing as a kind of a sweeping full back, centre back, midfielder, a role that he's kind of getting on to, you know, he's beginning to play deep a little bit more.
Yeah.
Liam, inside in last club games.
Done when the legs start to go a small bit.
Yeah.
You know, that little bust of pace, you kind of become a bit more of a playmaker and try to get into the danger zones more than be standing inside and have a man up or backside. Like,
unlike John Kennedy, like, I mean, 40 years ago, John Kennedy was playing in All Ireland. He played in the 2014, which was 10 years, and he got the other goal.
Yeah. The only thing that I'm looking at Dingle. We Dingle were renowned for scoring goals.
They were short a few players now, to be
fair. Amber
was missing, the two other Ganeys were missing, and of course
Tom Sullivan
is a big loss. And they had the measure of Soccer were very, I suppose, young in that instance. They created a number of chances. They couldn't break the press. I mean, the Dingle were very impressive in the sense that when they defended, they were very deep
structured,
and there was a lot of them very deep, and they were hard to get around. And then they had the luxury, I suppose, of playing Barry Denfield forward, and he caught a couple of massive balls, won a few frees, got a few points, and Dingle are in the next round as well. So four teams are gone. So Kerry, West Kerry, Field Rangers and the Gael are gone, and that means next week's games are, Andrew,
we've made Kerry versus Kenmare Shamrocks, that's next Sunday at 3 o'clock in Lewis Road. Kieran's take on Spa, that's next Saturday at 3 o'clock in Milltown. Castlemaine versus Dingle next Sunday at 2 o'clock in Stern Road, and Shannon Rangers versus Rathmore next Saturday at 4 o'clock in Castle Island.
Super. We've only got 3 minutes left additional time, and unlike some county league games, they'll have to end in that time. Meet Kerry, and Kimir jumps off that page, Liam, for all the right reasons, because there's jeopardy now.
It's do or die.
One of them is a team big enough to be in a quarter final for sure. Who is it?
If you're going on form, you're looking at Kilmare.
Okay.
Yeah. I see Meath Kerry the weekend. I know you could say there were people might say they were minding themselves, but I don't think, I was just looking at them. I just think, no, they have probably all over the field probably the better players, but I think Kilmare on form and experience, I think they'll just shade that.
Super. And that game is where, Andrew?
That game is in Lewis Road next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
The home of the Crokes, and Kilmare like to score in the Crokes too when they get there. St. Cairns and Spa. Spa, is it going to be a tough test for Spa?
I think so. You know, Cairns will be that was a great performance against Brendan's.
They've done everything well bar win, you know.
Performance, and they're going in with confidence. Spa, a great win as well. You know, we said about the goals they scored, I think the Cairns have too much for them. I think overall, I think they're scoring, and their spread of scores up front, I think they're one of the better divisional teams outside of East Kerry. And I think Cairns will share that one.
Fair play. And then we go back to the two clubs, Milltown, Castlemaine and Dingle.
That's going to be
a tough enough one.
It's going to be an interesting one. I think there's Mikey Ganey's getting married as well Friday, and there's so who's going to the wedding, who's not going to the wedding.
Milltown fellas in
there. There'll be no Milltown. So that's going to have a bearing, and that's over in Spain. So they're not going to sit in their car and drive home for it. So it's that's going to be a hard one to call now. Because what kind of a team?
So you're giving Milltown a good chance.
I'm giving Milltown a good chance. Yeah, yeah.
This could be their fussy moment.
This could be a good moment for them now to pick up their county championship and maybe get into a quarter final. Intermediate team. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then back to the North Kerry. Will the North Kerry championship start the week after, or will it be delayed by another week, John?
You never know, Donald. Rathmore will be. They're a very organised and a very competitive club team. They'll be hard to beat. But I thought, we saw enough yesterday from Shannon Rangers, they'll put it up to them.
Yeah.
The thing is, they need another one or two scores up front, depending a lot on Jack Kennelly, Darragh Keane, you know, Evan Boyle. They'll need John Cole. They have a lot of young fellas.
Mm-hmm. Which is a great sign of a district team, because you're talking about the longevity of them being in the competition. I mean, it might be this year, but
the John Coles and the Sean Rins and all these guys, they're learning at the highest level. It'll be a real battle. You know, I think Rathmore probably will share it, but don't be surprised if it goes the distance again.
I think any of the four games are going to be very close. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's going to be any really big walk over in any of the four games.
My gosh, that's going to come back and haunt you, isn't it? I don't think there's going to be any big walk forward in any of the four games.
Kieran Spash and Randy Ratmore, Milltown Dingle, look at them there, Kilmare, Mick Kerry.
Fair play. We'll play that next week now, just in case some crow win by 15 points or more. Hi, Don, you brought back great memories of that clip of the 1984 final. Remember John kicking those points? And he kicked a couple of important ones in 1985 as well. Dear God, he was around then. Charles, of course, still celebrating Liverpool's win at the weekend. And Donald, the final one to end this evening, I can't wait to see you pick a team of this championship. The standard is so bad that I even turned the telly off. That's poor Mike England. But at least, Mike, you're listening to the radio. So that's a good sign of you. Listen, guys, thanks very much this evening. We'll go to break and news up after the break. Of course, we are going to be talking handball. We might hold on to you for maybe just 2 minutes afterwards, because there's a lot of people want to talk to you about the new Kerry setup team, which we haven't discussed, high up or low down, and we will do that after a break, as I said, and we'll be chatting pitch and putt as well. But for now, we'll go to news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
There you go, that's the weather forecast. The odd light shower. What's that mean, John Kennedy, North Kerry? The odd light shower. What's that mean?
He's some man for the weather, John.
A bit of a squib, darling.
The odd light shower. Sounds like a name for a band or something. Come here, let's get on to something we haven't had a chance to discuss, because it's all coming championship. Liam Brosnan, of course, the news over the last number of weeks, and I suppose people have settled in with it now, is the new Kerry set up, because obviously, you know, we're going to be talking about Kerry fairly quickly. We're already talking about, has Jack O'Connor any players he can find, who's looking good, who's looking bad, who's in the mix, out of the mix. But the management has been freshened up.
It has, yeah. You know, so whether people like it or not,
it's been freshened up.
Been freshened up, yeah. You know, but and I think it was important to freshen it up,
yeah,
because it just wasn't working the way it was. And the way I look at it is that I don't mind who the management team is if we go out and play football. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a big year for Jack, because he needs to win the supporters over now again, you know, get supporters following Kerry, because there was a bit of a disconnect there at the way the whole thing has gone. Now, not blaming Jack for the whole thing of football, because football is probably wrong at a higher level, you know, but I think we need to get back to playing football the way we see our Kerry boys, the likes of Paddy and David are playing County Championship, Tony Ross, and the way they're moving. Play them in positions where we know they can play. And I know there's a thing about out there that football has changed and this and that, but at the same time we can go back and we can play it as style, and that's up to the coaches then. Like, he's brought in Pat McCarthy, he's brought in Keane O'Neill and all these fellas, Paddy Talley. That's up to them then to develop a style that suits us, not to suit a northern team, but we need a style that suits us and suits our players to go out and be competitive. And if we can do that, we won't be too far away.
Mm-hmm. Keane O'Neill knows Kerry, obviously he's been here before. I mean, even though he's, I suppose, travelled through a lot of other counties and the whole lot, he's at the top of his game. Were you surprised that Keane O'Neill came back to Kerry? He's a big name in that circle.
Yeah, I was, I'll be honest with you, because I felt maybe unfinished business with Galway. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Joyce. Mm-hmm. but he decided to come down. And
like, they got the two All-Ireland finals, like, with Keane O'Neill, so they got desperate close as well.
Oh, very close, and very unlucky this year with injuries, to mm-hmm. be fair. You know, not taking away from Armagh, their marquee players, we'll say Comer, Shane Welch, you know, Rob Finnerty in the final, McDade was out for a lot of the year. They had a horrendous list of injuries, stayed up in Division 1, but he's come to Kerry, huge experience, and has to be a plus, to be fair. And you know, James Costello and Adon coming in, different aspects, you know, they've been involved, and it's fresh and it's good. And I suppose maybe, do you know, to Michal Quirk and Dermot Murphy, they've given a lot to Kerry, you know, the fair play to them, and we wish them well, because it's a ruthless game.
Yeah.
When you win, the players get all the credit, and when you lose, then is back to the management team, and we all got it in our time. But to be fair, look, I think that Jack had a job to do. He changed it around, he's freshened it up. The big question, and we've said it, are the players there?
Mm-hmm.
Can we bring in new players? Because I felt that he had what he had last year. Has he seen or have they seen players to come in and come to that level and be competitive? But I agree with Liam, win or lose, I think if we can get back to playing the Kerry type of football, have
and
a go.
Just to say that, Liam, what is the Kerry type of football? Explain that, because I mean, look, we all have it in our heads, it's what John was doing 40 years ago, but I mean, what John was doing 40 years ago, I'd imagine somebody would sit up now and stop John Egan from passing the ball, and they certainly wouldn't leave Jack up and down the field and the whole lot, and maybe people have got better. But in a nutshell, what is the Kerry style? What's the style of football that you think is enjoyable to watch and can win?
I think it's attacking football, you know, and the players we have. And my fear is that we had Mike Ishii, the Morris Fitzes, Colin Cooper, David Clifford, that we won't see them players again, because number one, we're kind of coaching it out of them at underage and at development squad level. Yes. You know, we're stuck in a kind of a rut of defensive over and back, you know, mind the ball. And there's, I think, players, and I think there was a Kildare player that did a great interview there not long ago, the fear of kicking the ball, the fear of kicking a score, you know, that you're getting a 3-page dossier on a Monday after a game and everything you've done wrong is on it, instead of giving him a 3-page dossier of everything he did right, or maybe if he did more. It's like, if I kick 10 balls into David Clifford and David Clifford kicks 1-4, like, probably on Monday the balls that I kicked in that David didn't win will be highlighted more than what was kicked in. So my mentality the next week when I go out then is that I'm not going to kick half as much of them in. I'm going to be 100% sure that David's going to get the ball
and
before I kick it.
That point that you're fear's making there, that trickles down then from intercounty into club, into minor, into under 15, and even down maybe to under 13 at times, because you're saying to the guy, don't lose the ball, don't kick a 50-50 ball in, hold on to it. And all of a sudden, I suppose, the circle isn't at the top, the circle is from 13 up.
Exactly. And if you look at the teams that have won the All-Irelands in the last couple of years, they all won, you know, this Michael Horn now for St. Kieran's.
Yeah,
you know,
you're sitting there the last day.
That's right. The attacking football. I had a bit of it myself as well. Take your man on. Yeah. You know? I know there's big defence setups now and stuff like that, but if you attack a gap and you bring players in, there should be someone off your shoulder to run on in. But we are not doing that at senior level. No, we were over and back, and we were hoping to put one over the top into someone inside. And I think we got tired of that. And I think the game that kind of sticks out in my mind was above against Derry, when I see Kerry players walking, sawing the ball. No, I have never seen that before. No, you wouldn't see it at club level, and we're seeing it in the county level. That has to stop. And I do think maybe the rule changes as well will probably help us, you know, to make it. I think the GA are trying to make it a more attacking game as well. But like, get back to your question, Kerry football, attacking football, and take the fear of, if Tony Roston has 10 shots at goals and he kicks 6 and he misses 4, so what about the 4?
But final question to Liam, would you prefer to win in All-Ireland 5-4, or would you prefer to lose in All-Ireland 3-36 to 3-27?
Well, you see, the big thing there is that if you play that way, you have to win in All-Ireland.
Yeah, right.
Because if you lose, you will get the sword. Like, it's a thing. If you play with that kind of a system and you win in All-Ireland ugly, and that's grand. But if you lose in All-Ireland playing ugly, that's a different story. But I think that if we can go out and play decent football, I think there's lots of teams out there that will fear us again. And that's another thing, teams are not fearing Kerry anymore.
Yeah, you mentioned, of course, John Kennedy a while ago. Mikko won 81, he lost 82, he was close, he lost 83. The fourth year, Jack O'Connor won 4 years ago, Dublin, that game, the slip and the whole lot, nobody talks about that. Maybe last year against Armagh, people go back and say that moment where Shane Ryan, you know, slipped and the ball went in and the whole lot, maybe a couple more things with it. This is a big year for Jack O'Connor.
Oh, it's a big year. In one hand, he's nothing to prove, Donald. He's been there, he's won All-Irelands.
But I'd say Jack's the kind of fellow, he wants to prove it anyway.
Oh, he does, of course, and he's competitive and he's proud of his record. But, you know, it's a big year for Kerry. We're going to be at the business end, regardless what happens. And that's a given. Other counties can't say that now, but we can. But I think the big thing that Kerry supporters, you hear the groan in the stand when you see a guy 21 or 30 yards out with the ball and he turns and kicks it back 30 yards. That was unheard of in Kerry football. We know you have to keep possession. But two of the highlights for me from the All-Ireland were, or the semi-final, was Stephen Campbell and Rian O'Neill, the two scores they got. Outrageous efforts.
Yep.
They were prepared to have a go. We have players with equal ability that are not having that go because Are they restrained in what they can do from the management, or are they not just doing it? Are they afraid, and do they want to recycle to make certain? But like, sometimes you have to throw off the shackles and go for it. And I think if you go for it and you're beaten, at least people will say, fair play to them, they did it. But like playing this negative type game, and of course you have to play the opposition that's out there. But I think it's, you know, with this new management team and with the changes in the rules, hopefully it will, we'll see better and more attacking football from Kerry, whatever about the rest.
God, you're being fair and positive. And Stephen Campbell didn't even get an All-Star nomination. No, no. Were all his positive football and
all his positive, is right,
it yeah. didn't matter. We have four All-Star nominations. Will we win an All-Star, Liam? Yes or no?
No, done.
Will
no.
we win one or none?
We could sneak one.
Right.
Who's that one, John?
Won't say who, no.
He's only saying that.
He's only being nice.
He's only being nice.
So, listen, Andrew, we'll see you next week. Only four games next week. Proper games, though, of course. Yeah, somebody will lose. And boys, we'll see you next week.
Yep.
Sure. John Kennedy, of course, you'll be on what, Sky News now or something, sports and all other sorts of big things, will you?
He's 40 years
old. Yeah, I suppose he's signing autographs now and everything.
Oh, yeah.
He's going in to meet Ambrose now, I suppose.
Good evening, Ambrose. Fair play to you. Listen, we'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
No, Kerry has a vibrant pitch and putt scene, and of course, as I said, we promised in the second hour of the show this evening we're going to throw a lot more light on that in the company, of course, of players and the county board officials and everything. And of course, the vice of pitch and putt, he was to be my first guest, poor old Jason, but we've lost him on the fourth fairway or something. he'll be coming in now a second. And of course, he's a well-known local journalist as well, and of course, he's the deputy sports editor of the Kerry's Eye, Jason O'Connor. And of course, you'll hear him on games here on Radio Kerry as well. Jason, how are you?
Thank you very much for having us on.
At least you're not on the phone tonight. You're here in studio live.
Yeah, it's 5 years, I think, even longer. I'd say 6 years.
Are you serious? Oh my God. I introduced you earlier as Kilcommon's most famous sports journalist.
I don't know about that. Might be one or two distant.
Good stuff. Come here to me. Before we get into the chat, I mean, pitch and putt, where did it start for yourself?
For me, 1993, out in the Glenelg Hotel. I was actually a member of the leisure centre out there, and I started playing, and eventually the man across the way from you here brought me up for a round in Deer Park. I suppose I was between both clubs for a few years. In 1999, I became a full member in Deer Park, and 25 years.
You're still at it.
And I'm here.
And of course, you've jumped all through that, and now you're kind of the PR and marketing manager, if they even existed, and the whole lot, and head of communications and the whole lot, and you do it for the National.
I finished up with National back in February after 10 years, so.
Oh my God, 10 years at the top.
Yeah.
But you're back now, and tonight's show, basically, we're going to throw a bit of spotlight on Kerry Pitch and Putt, because everybody kind of sees the signposts, Castle Island Pitch and Putt, and Tralee Pitch and Putt, and Killarney Pitch and Putt, or Deer Park beside the Crokes and the whole lot. I suppose the one thing that interested me most is that there's a representative of, you can represent Kerry and your national competitions and all, and people just think you're in Kerry and there's only football, or there might be hurling, or there might be even soccer at this stage of football, but there is pitch and putt and the whole lot. And the first team you brought along this evening to me are the under-16s.
Yeah, I suppose we talk about the Kerry minors doing 5 in a row at under-16 level in pitch and putt. Kerry have done 5 in a row after this year. It's actually split up, though. There's a bit of a break. If there had been inter-county pitch and putt in 2020 and 2021, of course there wasn't because of the time lasted restrictions those years, you could be talking about a 7 in a row team, but
and that's at an age group that refreshed every year. It's not the same team as such. So you're producing fellas up to the same standard.
Well, Brian and AJ, Brian was here with you, AJ Barrett from the Stall, who was the team captain this year, unfortunately he can't make it tonight because of the Stall races, but they are the only two out of three players in the country. There's one other player from Cork. They have 3 national under 16 intercounty medals.
Wow. And some of the other players are here tonight.
Yeah, you have Brian was our captain here in the middle. He was our captain in 2022 and 2023. Garrod Cronin, our under 16 officer, is here. And we also have Ben Kelleher, who is national under 16 by straw play champion, who had 2 playoffs with Brian this year, one in Munster and one at National, with 2 different results. And strangely enough, after they played the national playoff against each other with two other lads from Kilkenny, they voted to go out and play with each other for the county afterwards, which was a weird experience.
Well, much chat, lads, was there? Not sure if we have time tonight. We have a bit of a corridor there, you know, we have nearest to the door or something, you know, good stuff. Garrod, your own, I suppose, journey into pitch and putt. I mean, how did you discover pitch and putt? Who dragged you along the first time?
Well, I'm originally from Brendan's Terrace, which, as you know, I suppose is only a stone's throw away from it. But so when we were young players, I suppose there was a place across the way, the ballast pitch, you used to call it. There was swings and slides and stuff there, and then the pitch and putt kind of opened up. So just to pass away the days, we said we'd just, you know, go up and try our hand at it, and sure, a bit like everybody else, and you just fall for it and you just stays with you then.
So it's funny, I'm in the morning, Clarny, right? And during the summer, we had three or four fellas who spend their life playing pitch and putt.
There's a lot of people like that.
For the school team and the whole lot. And it's a great kind of sport because you don't need a whole lot to get going, do you?
No, you don't. No. It's cheap enough to get going. Like, I mean, you could probably... Some young people, like, go in and buy very expensive stuff. You don't need to. There's no need. You can go down into any sports store. You could even go into the likes of St. Vincent de Paul. They have clubs. They can... supply you with clubs or with even golf shoes for young people, like, you know what I mean, just to start them up. And when they're brought up, then they're shown, you know, what to do, how to behave, and so, you know, there's certain things that they have to abide by too, like, you know, we say in our club in the end, the stall truly are the same. So,
and there's a nice bit of discipline in it as well, in etiquette and the whole lot. Yeah, I mean, and you learn that as you go along.
Yeah.
And I suppose you start with your club, you play away the whole lot, and you're doing a biz, and you're competing in a couple of Kerry competitions, and then maybe somebody like you comes along and says, we're putting the Kerry under 16 team together.
You trial us then. We say, if you, like in Kerry now, we say basically we have three kind of clubs. We say Listowel, Tralee and Deer Park, but the last couple of years now, we say we haven't had a representative from Tralee since 2014, I think, it was Eamon Sheehy. We had one all right this year. We had three teams in the Munsters this year, but there was one young lad from Tralee all right this year, which is great to see, obviously, like, you know what I mean? But basically, we said the last couple of years is more Deer Park and Listowel. So you'd have trials in Listowel and Deer Park, and you'd combine the two then, and your top six players, or top four players then, would make up your Kerry team. So. Yeah.
And you never know the kind of talent that you have bringing in year on year. And of course, you brought one of them along here, Ben. National champion?
Yeah.
All on your own?
Yeah.
Top of the pile. And you have a big cup there as well, don't you?
I do.
It's fairly big, to be honest. It's a big cup,
put,
isn't it?
Pitch and putt Stanley Cup, yeah.
It's bigger than Sam Maguire, I suppose, and taller than Lee McCarthy. Come here, talk us about the championship and how you got on. Obviously, you won, but talk us through maybe some of the games. It's not that long ago now, is it?
No, just a month ago, I say.
Yeah. You hardly forgot already, did you?
I have a fair amount. Suppose I came close enough to every other competition, so I was pretty confident going into it. And
what needs to be right for you going in? I mean, like, do you go up and you spend hours and hours just chipping, or are you working on putting? Is it a combination of both? Are you studying the course? Do you kind of know it backwards? Do you know where you're going and all that kind of stuff?
I suppose you just play practice rounds, like, so you go up midweek after school, but it was in the summer, so I spent a lot of hours up there, like, and we were lucky enough to have Derry and Grode to bring us up for a practice round the day before.
Yeah.
So we got to get used to the course.
Brilliant. So you get there, where was the finals?
Hillview. It's in Tipperary.
Clonmel and Tipperary.
So you're in Clonmel, you're in Tipperary, you're wearing the Kerry jersey, the nice green thing, you go out. What was your first shot like in your first game? Do you know in advance, is it an open draw that you're...
It is, it's time sheeted. I suppose, just to explain the kind of curtain, it used to be separate days for both events. The singles event used to be the Saturday and the intercounty event the Sunday. But because of the cost of everything with accommodation and that and to cut down on travel for teams, they come up with a 54-hole format where the players play their 36-hole singles. Their best 18-hole singles is their score for the inter-county single score. And they play double, so it created the unique situation where the lads, after playing against each other for one title, had to go and play together to try and win.
They had to do it twice this year, sure. Munsters and Nationals.
Yes, of course, Mallow as well for the Munsters.
Yeah. So you come out and top in, finally.
Yeah.
10 holes.
Three-way playoff.
How was the playoff like?
It started off a bit dodgy. I suppose I was probably the worst player to play in our group. And I got lucky enough in the last hole, the two boys lipped out and my putt went in. So.
Did you give the old fist when they lipped out, did you?
Small.
Oh, he didn't.
He put you back in. Come here, Brian. Did you leap out?
It flew by. It wasn't that close, though.
All right, okay. Well, that doesn't feel so bad. At least it goes by, you feel that well done.
Give it a chance, you know.
It's grand. Your father, a bit of a legend?
Yeah, some may say.
Yeah. This guy over here said in your tell us about him first before we go through.
Yeah, I started playing above in the pitcher putt with him at about 3 or 4 years of age, and he'd won a couple of national titles at that stage, so he's kind of finished up playing pitcher putt by then, but he used to take me up, and that's
right. So the mantelpiece was full of bits of...
Silverware.
Can you remember your first time going out down playing?
Not really. It was kind of me and Garrod's son, Nathan. We'd go up there and pucker on a few balls, not take it very serious. But
when did it become serious? When did you kind of maybe settle down and say, when was the first time you got picked for Kerry? Sure, obviously you were under 16, so it can't be that long ago.
It was 12, 13.
And what's that like then? I mean, you're going off then, I mean, you're leaving your local course and you're heading to wonderful Tipperary or Dublin or wherever else it is. What's that like?
Yeah, it was a bit nerve-wracking the first couple of times, but I kind of grew into it then.
Yeah.
A little less nervousness now.
And what's the nerves? I mean, nerves that you arrive and there's another Brian McCarthy from Tipperary, and there's a Brian McCarthy from Laois, and there's a Brian McCarthy from Donegal, and you're all there in your shiny shoes and the whole lot. Is that where the nerves are, or is it just maybe the first shot going away mightn't be the best or whatever?
Yeah, the first couple of holes are a bit nervy, you know. That'll be my main worry, but once I get up past them couple and I settle into it. And
is it the same for yourself, Ben? I mean, is it about settling into the course maybe and getting the first couple of holes out of the way and no disasters and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I suppose if you get the first 3 holes done, like, just try and make your pars, you're kind of settle into it, like.
And you kind of get into a rhythm and a mode. But then I'd imagine there's a lot going on in the background, or Phil is saying, this guy is 6 up here and he's 2 over there and the whole lot. Or do you just concentrate on what you can do? Because at the end of the day, you possibly can't do any more than the hole that you're playing.
Well, in the Nationals, I was lucky enough. I was finished first, so I had everything that I could do done. Like, so it was just waiting around to see what other people
were. So you're sitting in the clubhouse then hoping that this guy doesn't do that well and this guy doesn't do it, or dare I say, maybe something to do with Rory McIlroy and maybe not finish at all, maybe.
You say a few prayers to yourself, like seeing people go over putts. So,
good stuff. Garrod, how good are they? Without giving them too much of a head, because the door is small.
Well, in fairness, last year, Beano won the national match play. Do you know what I mean? There's two singles events, the national match play. He won it last year, and he was beaten this year in the second round, I think it was. But, compared to what we always had good juveniles above, and they're definitely in the top, definitely the top four in here.
Okay.
Like, you have Dylan Fellows, well, I know you might not have heard Damien Fleming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I
heard of his brother anyway.
Who hasn't, but Damien again, Damien didn't really win a whole lot as a juvenile, but he was consistent. But then
It clicked
in him, and in fairness to him, he's won some amount of stuff at a national level. Like, I'm sure he's on the World Cup team this year. Like, so,
big.
Like, there's another competition on now this year. We said Munster against Leinster, so we'll be home. We'd have 3 or 4 from Kerry and that. Like, but
we'll
have to wait and see.
You'd mentioned school. Better give him a shout. Where are you? Is the same as this?
Yeah, same.
We're going to call out the same game, their full title, St. Brendan's College, Killarney. Good stuff. Where are you, Brian?
I'm in St. Brendan's as well.
Oh my God. And is there a school competition?
They're champions in that too.
Dear God almighty. You leave him win the school competition, maybe, did you?
I mean, I've came second in every other competition this year, so.
All right. Oh my God.
I have to get one of them. Yeah.
We tripped to the last. Come here, before we finish this slot and we move on to the ladies, Jason, how important is it to be, I won't say this good or this willing, but I mean, getting this talent at a county level and then being able to go at nationals and wear those Kerry jerseys and people probably turning around and saying, oh God, they're the Kerry lads or they're... You become a favourite after a while and people probably look at you and say, the Kerry crowd, they'll be good.
Yeah, but it's about setting standards, I suppose. Look, for years, I suppose, traditionally, Tralee were the strongest juvenile club. It was nearly whoever, it was mainly Tralee plus a few extras. Then it became Deer Park, and look, in fairness, Listowel, they are bringing it on. Who's to say it mightn't be all Listowel in a few years' time, just before I forget there. Obviously, I mentioned AJ Barris was the team captain, the fourth member of the team was Jaden Shute. So they were they were named the goal team between Gold and Green, and they were the four players that won the team. But I mean, it is great. I suppose the big hope for the county is a national men's title. When we speak to Jason Cregan later, yep, he will explain more about what happened in Magdalstown the weekend before last. But I suppose that is the standard. We all hope that the lads can aspire to that level. It's not easy. They're going to go away and do different things with their lives, but we'll always hope to have this the structure there for them to come back, to if they decide to come back.
Yeah, their name will always be on the cup anyway, sure. And at least you'll be a senior in a couple of years time. Listen guys, thanks very much, Gerard, fair play to you. Thanks very much. Keep up the good work, Brian. Well done, Ben. Keep winning, Brian. Maybe try and catch him next time, will you? The important ones. After a break, we talk to the ladies team.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Hello, welcome back to Terrace Talk, of course, and we're talking Kerry pitch and putt. We spoke to the under-16s earlier, Brian, Ben and Garrod, of course. I'm keeping Jason in studio because Jason kind of knows. He knows them all, and he's actually togged off into his... My God, almighty, Jason, you're very green and gold all of a sudden.
This is 2018, gold, it's not the upgrade.
Looks like John Kennedy's 1984 jersey. It's very green and gold. But I'm delighted to be joined by Lisa and Charlotte as well. Of course, they are on the Kerry ladies team as well. Speaks to us about the importance of having the ladies section. It's kind of renewed and brought back.
It is renewed. I suppose this year, for the first time, I believe, I think it was 2004 is the last time a Kerry ladies team was entered in a national competition. We had a number of teams. I suppose Pitchput Ireland changed the format because Cork and Tipperary, say the three grades, senior, intermediate, junior, Tipperary and Cork were the only two counties that could fill teams in that bracket. So they came up with a format for gross teams, that's players to play without their handicap, mm-hmm, and a net section for players that use their handicap. So what Kerry have would be more suited to the net section. So this year, I suppose, when Tralee was chosen as the venue for the Munster Intercounties, there was a drive to get the ladies back. I think 2017, when it was in Castle Island, was the last time there was a ladies team. So I suppose Charlotte's father, Tony, took on the mantle as manager. We got two teams together, thankfully. I suppose the team, one big part of the team was Eileen McCarthy from Deer Park, because she had the last Kerry ladies team to win an inter-county competition was in Deer Park back in 2001, which was when the Munsters were there. So she is the one link to that team, and I suppose we were thrilled, I suppose, to see her come back. She got the bug again, I think, from the 50th anniversary celebrations in Deer Park last year. And I suppose, look, Sharon and Lisa have, I suppose, been very consistent. Lisa obviously has won a Munster match play title. Charlotte had a good performance with her brother Jamie earlier this year in the Munster Scotch foursomes event. So
real family.
Yeah.
God almighty. Come here, Charlotte. You're like President Higgins there with your big piece of paper. God almighty, might take it off for there, because I know it's well written and everything, but it's fantastic. Come here, when did you start playing pitch and putt?
I started playing when I was a juvenile.
Okay.
A few competitions.
Can you remember that, can you?
Not really, no.
Not really, okay.
No, I remember one or two competitions in Killarney. Mm-hmm. I came third.
Brilliant.
I wasn't great back then. Yeah. So
and where did the bug come from? I mean, some people play football and soccer and the whole lot. Where did pitch and putt come from? Obviously, the family kind
it
of
is,
pushed
yeah.
you that direction.
It
but
is,
I mean, when you were given your first putter and off you went, what club did you go to?
Well, my father was playing for, since 86.
Yeah.
And he used to bring me up and throw me into the bunker, give me a packet of sweets, and I was off. And since then, after that, I picked up the clubs.
And would you have sat and watched him for hours and hours and hours, or would you go and fetch the ball in the bushes and the whole lot?
I would have watched him, yeah. I went to all his competitions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and then soon enough it was time for you to get going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you still remember who you came third though, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. So even at that stage you weren't happy with third, you wanted to do a bit more. Come here to me, before we go there, Lisa, the same for yourself. When did you start playing? Or where did you start playing? Or who did you start playing?
I suppose I started about 11 or 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually originally from Tarbert, so mm-hmm. when I moved to Tralee, it was my aunt's husband who said, come on, we'll go up for a game one day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the minute I hit the club, I loved it, like, yeah. I did.
What was there to love about it? Is it the simplicity of it? Is it the challenge? Is it the social side of it?
A bit of all, really.
Is it the fact that you're outside in the open and, you know, there's a bit of fresh air? And
it's everything that you said, yeah. Yeah. You know, there are some days where you do get tormented because it can be quite tough. But there are other days and it's just free-flowing and you're just out there, you're meeting people, you're talking, you're having a laugh. It's enjoyable. Like, yeah. And again, exercise, fresh air, it's all very good.
That's brilliant. Yeah. And Charlotte, then there's the team aspect to it. We'll talk individuals in a while, but the team aspect to it, I mean, you're playing with what, three, four, five
There's
people?
Four of us on the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only are you watching your own game, you're looking out for your pal and hoping that, you know, she doesn't lip out too often or she finds the green more often than not. I mean, that must bring in a nice kind of social side to it and a bit of crack as well.
It does, yeah. We played actually in the mixed there, the Munsters, I got mixed up there for a second.
That's all right.
There's four of us, but we were double partners. So myself and Eileen McCarthy played together and Lisa and Katrina played together. So we'd have like a doubles first and then we'd have the singles afterwards. But it was challenging, but well worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And of course, you can go back to the Michael D. Higgins speech there now.
I was just wanting to say, but myself and my brother played in the Munster Mixed Force at Scotch Foursomes in Bishopstown in Cork in May, we won the first session and we came second second overall, wasn't it, Jason?
Yeah.
We'll be taking part in the Nationals in Lakeside in Tipperary on the 5th of October this year. Yeah.
So you're getting ready for that, aren't you?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
My father and my brother are also taking part in the Nationals this year. They're taking a step further because they won the Munsters this year.
Okay.
So it was an emotional one to see because they put so much
the
time.
Whole family are at the Munster Championships together in different grades, obviously, across the ways.
It's great to see it, yeah.
And you're all heading off into one car together with the one set of golf clubs, maybe.
In one car, yeah. And I have a nephew coming up now as well, Joey, and my son's playing at the moment as well, so it's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you watch your son play and say, oh God, no, he's doing that wrong?
But he actually had a hole in one the last day and I haven't got one yet, so.
Maybe he'd be telling you what you're doing wrong, maybe. How about your own family side of it? I mean, like, when you go off and you're playing pitch and putt and you're representing Kerry, you've got the Kerry jersey on, are people sending you text messages and WhatsApp and saying good luck today in the Munster finals? And that must be nice.
I get text messages from a lot of people, a lot of phone calls to wish us well. Like that, my own son plays, he enjoys it. Every day, you know, before a competition, people would call and text to say wish you well, and even afterwards, regardless of win or lose, you know, they do contact.
So there is, as slight as it is, and it is probably slight, there is a recognition that there is an inter-county team. But to be fair, I suppose tonight's, I suppose, show in a way is to show light on the fact that somebody sitting home in Waterville or Valencia or somewhere else and might just want to take it up on the whole lot, might want to start off maybe sociably at it, because like Garrod said at the start, it's not an expensive sport to play. You don't need a whole lot apart from a small bit of time to get into it. Do you expect that the ladies section will grow? Is it growing?
I think it's more general that Pitch Put Ireland in general now have recognised, I suppose, for years it was the only inter-county competitions were men's, ladies, and under-16s. It probably didn't, at the time, take recognition of the actual majority of the playing population. So it's actually funny, because I was actually on the National Executive 10 years ago that introduced these graded competitions for the men and the ladies at first, the provincial level. There's now a national challenge, which we'll talk more about in the next section. But it has, I think, Donald, given everyone a realistic chance in the county of putting on a Kerry jersey, where before you had to be a part of the very best in either men's, ladies or under-16s to play it. Now everyone in the county, if they want to go for the trials, can realistically go for a Kerry, play on a Kerry team if they want.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte, what's a casual social family pitch and putt event like in your house when you invite dad and brother and junior and the whole lot along?
Oh, it's a great laugh. Yeah.
Do you have a laugh, or are you very serious about it?
They take it serious. Yeah, they do. If they lose, they take it well serious. But it's nice to go up and play around. Like, we had our nephew up there yesterday. We had a four ball. Mm-hmm. It's a great laugh. Like.
And what's your club again?
Tralee Pitch and Putt Club.
Brilliant. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you Tralee as well?
I am, yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Who's the best in Tralee? Oh my gosh, you done the ice thing.
They'd be safe. They say their name is Jason.
Fair play to you. Listen, that wasn't so bad, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Huh? She nearly come back next year now. No bother to you.
Very
much. Huh? Yeah. I suppose, Donal, just as well, before we finish off, just to mention, obviously, I suppose we're talking about the present generation, but just, I suppose, it'd be wrong not to mention some of those who've gone before the ladies' team in 95. I suppose, obviously, Julianne Broderick from Castleline and Teresa Broderick from Tralee are two great stalwarts of the game, and I suppose it is the standard, I suppose, or the hope that someday Kerry ladies scene would get back to that level in 1995 when they won it here in Tralee.
Wow. Top dogs in 95.
Yeah.
God, but sure, it mightn't be that long ago, sure.
1984.
We might celebrate that, maybe. Mm. There's reason to celebrate. Listen, Lisa, Charlotte, thanks very much.
Thank you too.
Best of luck on the 5th of October.
Oh, we need it.
Huh? Ah, you don't need
I'm
it.
I'm only joking.
Grand. Jesus, a few more rounds with your father and you'll be grand, I'd say. Yeah. And you have to work on the hole in one now, to be fair. Like,
well,
I mean,
I have to get that
if
now.
If the spot.
It would be nice if it came on the 5th of October, wouldn't it?
On the last hole. Good stuff. Listen, girls, thanks very much.
Thank
After
you
break,
too.
We talk to Kerry Senior Mate.
Yeah, thank you.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're back. Kerry Pitch and Putt, of course, and we're throwing a small bit of, I suppose, daylight on it. It's there already in the help of Jason O'Connor. You recognise the voice possibly every weekend of the year, and of course he does all the great work for the newspapers as well, promoting the sport. Just before the break, we're talking to the Kerry ladies. Before that, we're Kerry under 16s. We're going to go into the men's section now as well, and I've been joined by Christy Manny, who is the current chairperson, David Howard, who is the former chairperson and secretary, and a couple of other things, maybe treasurer, I don't know, offline. We have Jason Cregan on the phone. Good evening to you, Jason. And we have, of course, Jason with us as well. Where are we in the men's section now? I mean, we talked about winning the All-Ireland here. We're talking about the ladies kind of getting back. Where are we at this stage, Jason?
Well, I suppose, and David had his own part in this in 1986, being on the under-16 team that won the Intercounty that year. But I suppose maybe up until recently, 1986 is always probably considered Kerry's greatest year, because it's the only time they won the Anchor Cup in Pitch and Putt, which is the men's intercounty. I suppose more recently, as I said, during the last slot, that 10 years ago they went down the road of bringing in intermediate and junior intercounties for the men, first day provincial level, bringing in a challenge element with the Leinster winners in 2019. But I suppose last weekend, just before last, in Magnustown, was the closest. Kerry have had two silver medals to Cork in 2010 and 2022, but they were, I suppose, a significant margin behind them. This was the closest any Kerry team has come since 1986 to be leading at the halfway and the three-quarter stage. Unfortunately, Cork just caught them in the final singles, but it was through no want of effort from the team. I suppose Jason will go through with you, who was on the team, but I suppose, like, they've done tremendous work. James Fleming, as manager, has put a lot of effort in. People know about him. His coaching from other sports, I suppose, basketball.
Is he quite and on pitch and foot, is he?
Well, I suppose his brother, he heeds the words of his brother, I would say, more in that respect. But I suppose James wouldn't so much be someone to tell someone how to hit a ball, but he'd know how to organise people, I suppose, for this level of the game.
Yeah. And one of those people that you referenced was Jason Cregan, and he's on the line. Jason Holding in Spain. It's not a Father Ted moment or anything now with two chairmen and Jason gets a trip to Spain. No, Jason?
No. The money isn't resting in my account or anything like that.
Good stuff. Come here to me. How close are you getting and how much work has gone into now, Jason? And maybe how close are we getting to Jason O'Connor's big hope of having that big prize?
I feel like we are getting close. Kind of when I first came on board, like after... probably took a few years out of juvenile before I got to the senior level, and I think there was a couple of attempts, but Kerry hadn't been close. I think Jess mentioned there 2010 in St. Anne's in Cork, but Sean Kelly from Deer Park, he came on board. I think he was a member of the 1986 team. He came on board around 2018, and just before COVID there was 2 years where we kind of changed the process, the selection process and everything, and there was some improvements there, but after COVID then Sean was kind of felt like his time was done, and that's when James came on board. And I think just with James kind of over it now, with the new selection process, the last 3 years we've been close, and we are getting very close. I think obviously massive disappointment not to win it last weekend, But yeah, like, you know, we've a young enough team, and I fancy our chances to win one, if not more. I think if we get one, we'll win a couple. But yeah, getting that first one will be is the most difficult bit.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the production wheel is working away, Jason, because obviously we're talking about the under-16s there earlier. So now players are being kind of produced at a high enough level that in time they kind of maybe fit seamlessly into that kind of senior team as well. Speak to us about your teammates on the team, and maybe just quickly let us know how close we were.
The team there was Darren Goodall, Jamie Blake, Mike Conway, Jason O'Regan, Damien Fleming and myself. I suppose to go through the team, Damien has been the best player in Kerry probably ever, I'd say. He's won a couple of, I think, four or five individual nationals, and it's been his real goal now, maybe the last, I'd say, all his life, really, to win the national inter-county. He's really been pushing the team on. Jason O'Regan, then he came second in the national stroke play this year. Very solid player. And, you know, like, Jason probably would have been close and a few times to win a national title. And then you have Mike Conway. He only came back there during COVID, but very strong player as well. He was fifth in the national stroke play there a few years ago. Jamie Blake has won a good few scratch cups in Kerry. Darren Goodall would have been strong as a juvenile years ago and very strong when he came in as an adult for the first couple of years, but then he packed it in and he's only after coming back since COVID. And yeah, that's really the bones of the team there. I would expect though that some of those, you know, Deer Park and the Soul Juveniles in the next few years will hopefully start kind of challenging for places on the team and breaking in, because you do need that bit of competition anyway.
Mm-hmm. And that's the key to David Howard, isn't it? It's to get the competition pushing what's there maybe that little bit further, even within the county, to take on the next step maybe.
Absolutely, and you know, we have a great foundation really in Kerry, particularly with the juveniles. And if you look at the Jason senior team now, every one of those six players competed successfully at juvenile level. It's like in any sport, it's just GAA or pitch and putt or whatever. If the juveniles are strong, it'll go all the way up to junior, intermediate, and senior as well, you know. And we do have it in Kerry, and long may it continue, you know. Mm-hmm.
Is it a nice thing to have that little bit more pressure that now all of a sudden it is a social sport in that sense, but the competitive aspect of it, we're getting at the good end of it where you want to be, and you want to be talked about by national, and you want Jason to make the headlines and say the winning team was Kerry, or the winning pitch and putter was a Kerry person and all that, but we're getting closer, much closer.
Oh yeah, you know, it was great, like even yesterday now, to be part of a team event. That's what you play for. It's any sport. We're lucky, I suppose, in pitch and putt, as a casual side. You know, we've a lot of players that join up, but they've no intention of playing competitively, and that's good, and we welcome them as well, you know. And they're every bit as part of our game. And we have a good percentage then, no matter what level they're at, whether they're beginner, you know, say junior B or whatever, right up to international level.
Yeah.
And there's competition at that level, and that's what makes the sport so special, really, you know.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, there's one man or woman at the top in a chair on their own behind the table that'll either get the blame or the credit, or maybe not so much credit. And in this instance, he happens to be a Cork man. Christy Mahoney, welcome.
Thank you.
I said I put the Cork bit in because if it goes wrong, we can blame you straight away.
I'm always to blame anyway.
Absolutely. Come here, what's it like to be the chairman with so many moving parts in an ever-increasing family, maybe?
Well, it's enjoyable in one sense, but in, like you said, you tend to get to blame when things go wrong. On the other hand, when things go right, you're...
Yeah, but there's a lot going right at the moment, isn't there?
There is, in fairness, and all credit to the lads from, and ladies all playing in all the grades.
Yeah.
And we like to see them coming up and challenging other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the other side is as well, and I suppose David mentioned it there, it's a social sport as well, that, you know, people just want their 2 hours up to the pitch and putt course. They might never want to play for Kerry, and there's loads of room for that as well, and that's an ever-growing aspect of the game.
It is, and even with my own daughter, she only took up the game this year, and she was in the net challenge in the inter-county in Tralee, and she enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, absolutely. And the hope then is that she'll bring a couple of extra friends along the next time, and it's a good afternoon out as well, if you don't take it too seriously, maybe.
Well, you wouldn't want to take too seriously because it'll drive you mad.
Not if I was driven mad about it. Jason O'Connor, we'll finish it up. Have you been driven mad by this over? How many years did you say? What did you say, 86 or something that Gerard found you?
No, and that's 1994. But right. I suppose as I came on the county board in 2009, I suppose Davis was a great help to me, I suppose, in my first few years. And I suppose not just the senior in Kerry, but also I suppose when I came on to national level, he was a great help to me in guiding me through those waters. I suppose I just want to congratulate David and Christy, obviously, on the junior men's team yesterday. Just as I explained, there was a challenge. Because Kerry won the intermediate and junior events in Munster, they went to Riverdale and Nina yesterday to compete in this. Unfortunately, our intermediate team were beaten by Kildare, but thankfully the junior men's team beat Westmeath for the second year in a row. Christy is a back-to-back winning manager with the team, and Mark O'Regan from Tralee, Jason O'Regan's son, who we just mentioned, he was distinction of being on both teams, and David will go through the rest of the names in the team there. Make sure I don't forget anyone.
Off you go, 100 metre sprint.
No, it's fine. I partnered with a guy from Tralee, Robbie O'Connor. We had a great partnership together.
Did Mark, he carry you along, did he?
He did for a lot of the way. He did. I can't take much of the credit for the foursomes anyway. In the other partnership, then we had a blend of experience. Noel Lee was partnering the youngest man on the team, Mark O'Regan, and they worked great together. Noel, a great man around the greens, and Mark, a wonderful pitcher. A good partnership always. And in the other partnership, then we had Mark O'Shea from Deer Park. People might know him from football and basketball, his fame as well. But
he's a very tall pitch and putter, I'd imagine, is he?
He's tall enough, yeah. And but he's no mean pitch and putt player, and he partnered Pa Byrne from Tralee. That partnership really struck it off, even in the Munster inter-county and all during the practice. It was a great team to be involved in, you know.
Yeah.
And just before we finish up, just a special thank you to our sponsor, our main sponsor, James Fleming of Utility Trust, who was more than generous in sponsoring all the Gents teams throughout the inter-county, and we thank him for that, you know.
Just as well in sponsorship, Donald, to mention Sewell's Pharmacy, our under-16 team sponsor, that's going on nearly 20 years. And we also thank the Meadowlands Hotel in Tralee for giving our ladies team sponsorship. And Christy, there was one more. Do you want to mention it there? O'Connor Construction.
Fair play. Listen, that's all we have this evening. Congratulations. Best of luck. Well done. You'll keep the job for another year, will you?
Well, if I'm allowed.
So you'll get your support, surely. Yeah. Well, Jason's back on the local scene now, you never know. He's giving up his time. Listen, thanks very much, David. Jason Cregan, thanks very much for phoning in Spain. We had Lisa, we had Charlotte, we had Brian, we had Ben, we had Gerard. This was Terrace Talk, and we'll do it all again next week.